Welcome to episode 27 of the Divided by Werewolf show. So glad to have y'all here. It is July. It is hot as a motherfucker. I don't know where y'all are.
Ooh.
Holy shit. It was heat index of 117 by me today.
Yep.
And I got three dogs, one of which is a nine-month-old lab. And she's fucking crazy. She didn't get her two walks a day. So shit's about to pop off at my house. Jesus Christ. It's like anybody makes a sudden movement, she's like, we're playing! It's like, whoa, hey, it's 3 a.m, I'm going to the bathroom. Like, my God. I don't know how things are where you are, but holy shit, it is awful here.
Yeah, it's fucking miserable. Miserable. It's like you go mow the lawn, you're taking your life into your own hands, and that's at night.
Yeah.
It's not even the day.
Yeah. Yeah, my son, he mows the lawn. He came in on Saturday after mowing the lawn. His head looked like he stuck it in a bucket, and he's like, I'm not going to take a shower. I was like, excuse me? He's like, yeah, I don't need to take a shower. I was like, go look yourself in the mirror. He's like, I know what I look like. I was like, well, then, motherfucker, you know you should take a shower. Because you look like someone turned the hose on you outside. Get the fuck out of here with that angle. It's like, take 5 minutes, get your stanky ass clean. I swear, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if your son's already this way because he's getting to be that age. But I don't know. It's like they turn into, like, the Wicked Witch of the West, where if water touches their body, that they will die. But yet at the same time, somehow manage to run the shower for like a half an hour before getting into it. So
yeah, no, man, mine are the opposite than that. So the 13-year-old is like me. He wants to take two showers a day. And then his sister, on the other hand, the 9-year-old, you have to like chase into the shower with some sort of weaponry to get a shower. Like, you have to threaten her life. She'd go a week and wouldn't give a fuck. It's just, it's the oddest thing to me, because like, as we've talked about, she's generally the one that is the mini me. Like, she's just like me in so many ways, but man, she will not take a bath unless you make her.
Yeah. Yeah. My, it's funny how they go through stages like that. Like, my daughter, she will use, for her, a shower is Festivus. She does the airing of the grievances. So she'll be up there in the shower, like, you'll just hear this low level that, and I'm like, and sometime, one time I like listen outside the door, and yeah, she like would go, this is more like when she's in school and she just like keeps a laundry list of all the people who wronged her. She's like, this reference will go above your head because it's the Game of Thrones, but she's like a Lannister. She's like, oh, I will pay my debts. Like, and so she'll sit there in the shower and just go through like all the people who have wronged her throughout the day, be like, did that person sit down? And I was just like, no, you're not going to be that way, and you are going to sit next to me. And it's funny, but it's also at the same time, you're just like, look, you can't, like, you're supposed to get relaxed, like, you're going to be going to bed in a couple hours or whatever, like, that's not the time to rehash all of the problems of the day.
Right.
It's like, you're too young to drink, but here, sit down, and have one. Like, but anyway, so we had a lot talked about. We complain about our kids all day, so we ain't going to do that.
Yeah, right.
We both saw War for Planet of the Apes, which may or may not be the last Planet of the Apes. And then we both saw Okja, which is the I always get his name wrong. The guy who did Snowpiercer and The Host, his Netflix-only movie.
And, so is it Bong Joon-ho or something
like
that?
Yeah. But first and foremost, so we both participated. I did not participate in the big social thing, but we both took part in the beta of Destiny 2. Now, you played it, I'm assuming, on both platforms. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then you did all three characters on both platforms, or just all three on one to see how it was?
All three on both.
Okay. I did the Hunter. And we did stream, and it's up on the YouTube channel. We did stream the inverted spire, strike. So what are your thoughts on the beta?
You know, like you said, it's Destiny with the two at the end. You know, it didn't reinvent the wheel, of course, and there's, you know, it didn't explain anything, of course. But my thing was, it was fun, and I know I'm gonna enjoy the game. Mm-hmm. But I just am ready to get my own characters in there,
yeah,
and start playing with loadouts and seeing what does what, and like getting my own weapons, like what they gave us to play with. I wasn't blown away by any of it, no, especially the exotics.
Mm-hmm.
Like I am here to tell you, man, if the business is an exotic,
the business,
I will not be using the business. So.
Well, except for the fact that it is fun to be like, Mitch needs, yeah, to give him the business.
Right. That's the only enjoyment I got, yeah, was I got to say, I'm giving him the business.
For 45 minutes or an,
right,
hour or whatever, yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, I'm having to give them a lot of business because,
yeah,
they're not fucking,
no,
dying.
Right? Yeah. No shit. Yeah. Well, you know, I think for me the hardest part, I mean, I agree with you 100%, but the hardest part was, you know, did you play the Destiny Alpha or did you get in?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you play the Destiny Alpha and that kind of gave you an idea of what was going on. Then you played the beta and that, you know, had I don't remember what it had. I know it had they always do that strike. I forget the name of it. What's the name of that strike? It's on Earth with the big globe thing. Sepix Prime. So I remember, like, in the beta, like, doing that and being like, what the fuck is this? What are we doing? And be like, holy shit, this is awesome. You know, and so, and I'm not saying, this isn't like, I'm not trying to knock the beta for the second one. It's just that for the first one, you know, even though we played some for the alpha and then that built upon it for the beta, you still, for the most part, really didn't have any idea. They, at that point, like, they weren't even saying what it was. Was it a shooter?
Right.
Was it an MMO? Was it a single-player shooter that had multiplayer elements? Was it a community-type game? Like, what exactly was it? Nobody seemed to know what Destiny was. So it was the first chance to really get a meaty feel, and they let you – I felt like they gave you more options for creating characters, even if it didn't carry over.
Yeah.
So now, fast forward X number of years, we've all played Destiny to the point where we know the fucking game inside and out, and now they drop the beta for 2 on us, and you're just eager because you're like, okay, how is it different? What's going to be in it? You know, what are things going to feel like? And then,
yep,
you're like, okay, here's a character that you don't get to create. You can see 2 mm-hmm. of the skill trees, but you don't get to pick what they are. You can kind of flip between some things, but that's it. You have no understanding of how some of you have the different weapons, but still doesn't give you a great understanding of the weapon system.
Right.
You got one mission, which is, you know, it was a lengthy mission. It was 45 minutes.
Yeah. I liked the mission a lot.
An hour or so, depending on how much the turbines fucked you up. They gave you a strike where you essentially were throwing small pebbles at the fucking Iron Giant for an hour and a half. And then multiplayer, which I didn't touch. But so much of the beta for Destiny 2 was similar to what we have already done in Destiny.
Yeah.
That I think that from the perspective of Bungie being able to get important data that they need to make sure the game releases in as solid a state as they're capable of, I'm sure it was a huge, overwhelming success.
Right.
In terms of a way to at least let fans of the game know that things didn't go off the rails, I think it was good. But to let people know, like, what Destiny 2 actually is, I don't think it succeeded at all.
No, I don't
either. And that's fine. I mean, we all know, for those of us who've been playing it, we're going to get it. Because, I mean, just even reading the stuff, like, when you're reading about, I mean, IGN did, like, an exclusive this week where they're talking about all the shit in, like, a social space. And you're talking about, like quests with dungeons, like, quests that unlock slowly over time and, like, dungeons with monsters that have different loot and upgrade. You can do a public event and then choose to do a harder version of the same public event. Shit like that, like... That's the type of stuff where you're like, fuck yeah, that's what I want to know about. That's what I want to see.
Yep.
And Bungie's just like, well, you can see it when the game comes out.
Well, and you know, and to that, you know, with the first one, even I wonder if it's even going to be explained because, you know, Destiny 1 was a game that I played for a week and I was like, well, yeah, that was good, but is that it?
Yeah.
And you had to actively seek out information to learn how to play the fucking thing because they didn't tell you anything.
And I don't think, though, that I hope they don't do that again, because that was, that was awful.
I agree. I was like, because I almost put the game down. I have friends, and my brother included, who did put it down.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I finished it. And I was like, you didn't do shit.
Right. Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. We, like, when you, and I mean, to Bungie's credit, like, they learned a lot. I mean, if you look at how Destiny was, like, in year one when we started playing it, and how it was after they released, like, Taken King, I mean, holy shit, it's a completely different game. And all for the better. I'm sure there's some people who complain. I'm sure there's some PvP people who might complain about certain things. But I think from a PvE standpoint, it was fucking great. So much better. And I loved the year one game, but it just got better and better and better. And so, you know, they're going to, you know, they will have, presumably they will have learned from that. And they'll make it so that you aren't sitting there going, okay, well, what's next? Like, you won't be surprised when you find out, oh, wait, there's a strike here.
Yeah.
Or, and they won't hide, you know, their story behind, you know, what essentially are cards that you read on another website. Like, that was the thing that I just didn't understand. Like, when you read, like, about some of the exotics, and you read about, like, what the, you know, the kind of the backstory in that, and I was like, why would you not put that in the game? Why in God's name do I need to go on a fucking website to read this shit? Like, you're making me do this crazy-ass quest. and I don't even know why, other than just, oh, I got a cool gun. And wouldn't you think that that would have been nice to explain in the game? And that, my understanding is that is something that they've improved for the second one.
Yeah, I've read that. But, you know, my other sort of concern, and it not necessarily has anything to do with the beta, but just things that they've announced, things that I'm reading, and, you know, IGN's doing their thing and putting all these little videos out and stuff like that. And I hope my hope for the game is that they find a balance, because I'm concerned that the way everybody bitched about vanilla Destiny, like, pre anything, just, you know, the first year, and how they changed so drastically, I'm like, I hope they know that by the Taken King how good it was.
Yes.
And I don't want them to make it oversimplified for those people who don't, you know, I'm not saying play it 10 hours a day like I do or whatever I was, you know, at the time, but, you know, I don't want it to be, I don't want to lose that experience. I don't want to lose that doing 400 steps or whatever to get that gun, because it makes that gun so much more fun to get, you know, and to use, things like that. Like, you know, I don't want every exotic to just be like, oh, there you go, you signed in today, have this.
Right. No, there's definitely a balance to strike, because, I mean, there were exotics that I was just like, fuck that, I'm not doing all that. But I think for people that wanted to take the time and wanted to, you know, kind of put in the – and I'm not even going to call it a grind. It's more – it's just – there's just – it's involved.
Right.
Those people should be rewarded with a gun that is fucking badass.
Yep.
No doubt about it. As opposed to, like you're saying, there were definitely some weapons where it's just like, okay, you know, like, you killed 15 Taken, there you go, there's a shotgun, and you're like, well, aren't I supposed to kill Taken? Like, kind of seem like they're bad guys. But, you know, at the same time, there were so many things about Destiny in year one that they just did not explain. Like, even remotely, where you're like, this is the Traveler. What the fuck is the Traveler? Oh, it's a thing that does stuff. It's important. It's a big globe. You'll love it. You know what I mean? And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And there was so much stuff like that, where you felt like they had an idea as to a story they wanted to tell. They didn't really know how to tell it. And then they were like, guys, people are spending hours shooting into a cave. Okay, well, we probably need to fix that first. We'll just keep the cards on the website. You know, I think it's cool. But I mean, overall, it was, you know, I was a little, I'm not going to lie, I was a little disappointed, because I was like, okay, I did a mission, and then I did a strike, and the strike was fun, like, we had a great time with it, but, you know, I mean, that was kind of it, and then that was it. Like, I never went back. After you and I did the strike, I never went back to play more. Because I was like, well, what am I going to do? Nothing carries over. I don't play PvP. I don't want to I'm, you know, if I was really that interested in terms of how the different powers are, it's not that big of a deal to just roll up another character, especially early on. It's different when you've like done everything with one character to then be like, yeah, I'm not doing that. But, you know,
that's another thing I hope for Destiny 2 that I don't have to, I don't know what the case is going to be, but it would be nice, since I'm one of these insane people who's going to play it on both consoles and do all three classes on both. It would be nice if, and I'm not saying, you know, I don't have to put in any work with the other two classes after my first one, but if I don't have to do every single story mission, every single thing three times, that'll be great.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if you're going to raid and if you're going to put a lot of time into the game, you need all three classes, you know, because you need to be interchangeable because, you know, your raid
on the group. Yeah.
Yeah. Your group might need a warlock. It might need a titan with bubble, you know, so you need to do all the stuff. I put so many hours into Destiny building
and
those
honestly,
characters.
That was the reason why I never changed classes, because I was like, well, I don't want to start from scratch.
Yes.
And yeah, it would be nice if you could say, okay, you're going to, I don't know, you could get some percentage of the way there
just
by what you've already done. Maybe not all the way there.
Yep.
But no, I agree with you. But, you know, at the same time, I didn't see anything where I was like, you know, I'm not going to play it. I don't want anything to do with it. I still was like, yep, it's Destiny.
Yep, got to play
it. Good, let's do it.
Yep.
But, you know, it's just, I think there's just a difference between, you know, what we saw in the alpha and the beta for one in this.
Yeah.
And then let's see. So in other gaming news, I did pick up Wildlands on the cheap. I got it for like $27 and started playing it again. And I don't know. I got to be honest with you. I don't know what the difference is between now and when I first played it with you, but I'm enjoying it so much more now. And I don't know. I mean, they've made a lot of changes to the game. I don't know if it's that or that, like, I did a bunch of missions with you that unlocked a whole bunch of skill points, which I haven't spent, but still, like, maybe they unlocked weapons or they just made things easier. I don't know what it is, but I just am enjoying it a lot more now than I did when I first got it.
And yeah.
I honestly can't tell you. I can't tell you why. I have no idea.
Well, I mean, for me, it was that it took a while to learn the game. The map's overwhelming. The controls are overwhelming to an extent, and you're like, oh, what did it say I need to do here? And oh shit, how did you do that? And once I realized that probably 50 to 65% of that shit, it doesn't even matter.
Yes.
You know, then, yeah, once I had my little routine down and how I went about doing things, I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the change to the helicopter controls, I know that, like, when we played it that one night with, it was you and me and I think Matt, and I was like, is this motherfucker drunk? Like, why is he flying us into this building? And I'm assuming it's just because the helicopter controls sucked, because now they're fucking perfect. It's exactly what you would expect it to be.
Yeah. I could fly a helicopter all over Bolivia if I had to. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is like what it was with Far Cry, where it was like, you know, right trigger, left trigger, pitch, yell, whatever. Boom, let's do it. Whereas before, it was like, you know, reverse Polish notation just to get the fucking thing off the ground.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't need to be an actual helicopter pilot to play a helicopter in the game. Like, that seems like overkill.
that's for Battlefield players.
No shit, right? Just so you can get sniped by some 12-year-old with fucking perfect reflexes. Fuck that. Yeah, no shit. You know, but it's still that Ubisoft style, though, of like open world. It's like, here's an icon on the map, go to it, you know, there's a thing, here's a thing, do the thing, move on to the next thing. And so, you know, from I honestly don't give a shit about the story. It's like, okay, drug dealers, yeah, they're bad, whatever. But you know, it's just something to kind of do when streaming or whatever, or just like, you know, way to kill some time, knocking icons off a map. I think it's fine. And they seem to be adding a lot to it to where, you know, conceivably you could play it for a while.
Honestly, I branded the game. That's what I call it. I cleared the fucking map, dude. My map is
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I got everything. And I honestly, like, they kind of, I didn't care about the first DLC. Like, it was like silly shit with.
Was that the Narco Road?
Yeah, with like with monster trucks and fast.
The llama bike.
Yeah, and all this type of shit. But the new one looked really fucking good. Where like that that other team of like gorillas that were like almost superhero-ish looking with their fucking suits and shit. And, mm-hmm. you know, they didn't have powers or whatever. But I'm just saying, like, whereas you're an elite badass group, these guys look even more fucking badass. And right. they shoot you out of a helicopter and hunt you throughout the DLC. And I was like, God damn, I kind of want to play that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where if the DLC was on sale, I mean, honestly, the DLC I'm waiting to go on sale is for Sniper Elite 4, but I love that fucking game, and I'd like to play more of it, but
yeah.
But this is good for now. Although, I'm very excited to hear once the Games of Gold, or no, the PlayStation Plus, I'm excited to hear your thoughts on Just Cause 3. Have you ever played any of the Just Cause games?
I remember that Part 2 was a game with gold on the PS3,
yeah.
And I remember I downloaded it, and that's as far as I got. So I've never played one.
I think, in my humble opinion, 3 or 2 is better than 3.
Okay.
But if you've never – but you know, this is – again, this is one of those things where if you've never played any of them, 3 is fucking great.
Yeah,
it's
fucking
great.
It looks fun as shit. It looks hilarious. I can't wait to fucking strap a Jeep to a cow and shit and see what I don't even care, man.
Oh, shit like that is awesome. Is awesome. Like when you see the I kicked the table, I'm so excited. when you see, yeah, kind of the level of destruction that you can do, and man,
yes.
and I mean, it's one of those games too where like if you stumble across a fucking badass helicopter and you want to fly around and wreck shit, dude, fly around and wreck shit. I cannot tell you how many times I fucked a base up. Like I'd fly in, shoot some missiles, fly back out, fly in, and I mean, and it's just it's fun. Some of the wingsuit courses, you will be up like. Nights gone, how the fuck do I beat this thing? Because they just get at you. You're just like, I have to keep doing it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the game, though, is the Rico, when every time they do a story mission and they would do the cutscene before, he would always end it by, like, walking off and, like, staring. Like, he'd do the Joey Tribbiani smell the fart acting. And it just... It made me laugh every time because it didn't matter if they were like, Rico, you need to raid this orphanage because they are using the children as child labor. And he'd stare off into the distance or, Rico, you forgot to mail your Father's Day card. And he'd stare off. It made me laugh every time. And again, I think – I don't know. Off the top of my head, I can't tell you why I like the second one better than the third one. But if you haven't played any of them, it's so much fun. It is so much fun.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I've almost bought it. I can't tell you. I mean, the thing that keeps me from buying it is that I always know it's going to be cheaper because, you know, first of all, the price drops these days are insane anyway. But,
yeah.
But there's no co-op, which I think is fucking criminal. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Lord. I mean, the level of fun that you get. Like, I remember it was buggy as shit. Don't get me wrong. It was fucking buggy as shit. But, oh, my God, Petey and I, the amount of fun we had in Mercenaries, just blowing things up.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we ever did. Like, I remember one time I was doing something, and this dude just popped into my game was like, I got an achievement. And then he popped out, and I was like, what the fuck? I was like, play on, player. You know, I mean, just – and it was buggy as fuck. But, man, the good times we had just blowing shit up in that game.
Yep.
And it's the same thing. Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with me because I play so many goddamn games. I'm like, Bayonetta, played it. Just Cause 3, played it. Even the Freedom Cry, I know you don't care about Assassin's Creed, but the Black Flag, it was an expansion pack. Played that too. So I was just like, yeah, those are really good games. That I've already played. but the problem is nowadays, it's like when certain games come out, you kind of tell, you're like, yeah, that'll be free. So like, for example, like, you know, Victor Vran, I was like, well, I could pick that up, but I was like, that might be free at some point. Or even like Pyre, which is a game I was thinking about getting on the PS4. I'm like, if I wait 6 months, that shit would probably be free. So
yeah, other two were. I did buy Bastion, but I didn't buy, was it Transistor? Yeah, I got it free.
So it's kind of hard, because on the one hand, you want to support the developers, but on the other hand, you're like, well, I am paying, you know, $60 a month or 48 or whatever it is when I get it on sale, and I'm kind of paying it in part to get these free games, so...
Yeah.
But, like, I keep waiting for Soma to be free. I'm like, come on now.
Oh,
like,
so good.
Get that shit on there, son. I was just glad to get Until Dawn so I didn't have to go through the whole thing of getting it all over again so I could kill everybody.
Yeah. Yep.
So, anything that you've been playing lately? I mean, I know you're still... Friday the 13th is not endearing itself to you. I saw this morning.
Boy.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's rough. That host migration, they got to fix that, dude.
Yeah.
That has ruined the game, and it wasn't this way. It hasn't been this way until recently, at least for me.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, I'm playing more with the public because all my friends have left this game high and dry, and I'm still over here like, I want to play.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm stuck at the mercy of the public. But God damn, even last night, I felt bad, dude, because, like, these guys, man, they were putting in work. Apparently, they just found everything right off the bat. And so there had three dudes in a car before I even knew what the fuck was going on. Good. I was Jason.
Uh-huh.
And, I warp over towards the car and fuck, somebody's cranking it. And I was like, what the fuck? They found all that shit that fast. And they're getting ready to ride out and they get away. And, so I'm like, all right, cool. So I went and I kill like two or three other dudes and there's like two left, I think. And I roll up on Chad and he's got a gas tank in his hand. And I get after him and I hit him with a couple of throwing knives. And then, I grab him. And as soon as I grab him, oh, the game is over. You've been kicked from the game. The host left. Mm-hmm. So nobody gets shit. They don't give you any XP. You get nothing. It's like Willy Wonka. Good day, sir. You get nothing. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, that and so that's aggravating. But I still play it. I've got it. It's on right now. I'm looking at the title screen. So
yeah, that sucks. I mean, because at least like you would hope that they would be able to know when somebody is just doing that to be a fuckwit.
Yeah.
You know? Because you end up, you know, like you said, it's like putting in a full day work, 7 hours, and then you don't get paid because you didn't put in eight.
Yep.
And that's just not right. Especially if you don't have any, like, it's one thing when, like, you know, sometimes there's server issues. We all get it. That shit happens.
Mm.
But for somebody to just get pissed off and then bounce because, you know, they got, you know, killed by Jason, and then ruin it for everybody, because that's really what it is. Like, it'd be one yep. thing if that dude quit and then he just lost his experience, whatever. Do you get experience if you survive at all?
Yeah.
So if that guy wanted to make the choice where he's like, fuck it, I'm out, and then you're like, fine, and you don't get anything.
Yeah.
To just be able to ruin it. And you know that people know that, and that's part of the reason why they do it. They're just like, well, fuck it. If I can't do it, nobody is. That sucks.
Yep. And then I'm still plugging away at Horizon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, which is fantastic, and I'm like level 25, and I don't know where I am story wise because I'm kind of doing shit all over the place. But I watched you stream a good bit of it, but not the whole thing because I knew I would be playing it.
Yeah.
So I've done several of the things that I watched you do, but I don't know how close to the end I am.
You know, that's one of the few games where, you know, a lot of times for me, games like that, you know, kind of, and it sounds corny, but like the journey is more important because I don't. Normally, I end up getting disappointed with, like, what the reason behind things was, you know, why things went to shit or whatever.
Right.
This is one of the few games where I actually really, really enjoyed them explaining, like, what happened.
Yeah.
I felt that it made sense. They did a great job with it. And I really kind of liked what their take on, you know, what caused the apocalypse and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. But yeah, so hopefully, you know, as much as I like having you guys along for the ride, hopefully you didn't watch it. Cause you know, it does take a little bit away when it's kind of been revealed for you. So, yeah, cool. No, I love that game and it's on sale this week. I think it's like $30. I think you can get it. Definitely, mm-hmm. definitely worth the price. If anything, just to kind of see all the different dinosaur design and all that shit.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So, all right. So, now that we got the games out of the way, So movies. So we both saw War for Planet of the Apes. Matt Reeves, who had done Rise. No, I always get them confused. Dawn of Planet of the Apes. He did not do Rise of Planet of the Apes. Now, did you watch them again before you?
I did. War? Okay, I so did. Me and Katie watched them. We watched the other two before we saw the third one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was kind of – I'd forgotten that for the most part, you know, one of the things that I like about these movies as opposed to the original Planet of the Apes movies, you know, in the original ones, you know, the apes were in charge and the humans were trying to figure out, you know, and then, of course, they changed everything.
Right.
But how combat – like these apes, they really – they just kind of want to be left alone. Like that's it. They're not looking – for anything other than just to be able to survive.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of forgotten about that. And it's central to the overall plot of everything that's how it is. But, you know, when you see something like War for Planet of the Apes, you're like, oh, shit, it's about to go down.
Yeah.
And one thing that I'd mentioned on Twitter, and you would agree with me after you saw it, is that this movie, and we're going to talk spoilers – this movie is very different than from what I feel like was somewhat advertised, and yep. In a good way.
Oh yeah,
for me anyway. But you know, when you hear War for Planet of the Apes, you kind of think, okay, you know, it's about to get, you know, it's about to go down. But it's not really like that,
right? Which that concerned me because that's sort of
what you wanted.
Well, no, we just came off of that. In Dawn, right? Like that's what Dawn was. It was all they were at war, and like
yeah,
you know,
but Dawn was that whole kind of mistaken identity, so to speak, right? Like because
right.
Koba made
right,
the
right, right.
Caesar feel like he had to, or made the apes feel like
right.
The humans had attacked them, whereas Caesar still wanted them to just kind of live in peace.
Right. No, you're right. I'm just saying, like, as far as the way that, you know, it being called war and the trailers and this and that, like, I thought, oh, shit, this is the war that leads into Planet of the Apes. This is it. Like, this is apes versus humans, like, and I'm like, they're going to completely go away from, like you're talking about, them just wanting to be left alone, and, like, this is going to be, it's, like, been 10 years, and now they're entrenched
right.
In leadership, you know?
Right. Yes. Yes. That's an excellent point. Cause I thought the same thing too, because the first, God, I always get them confused. Dawn of Planet of the Apes takes place several years after Rise.
Mm-hmm.
They say at one point that they hadn't seen any humans for like 2 years.
Right.
But War for Planet of the Apes takes place, you know, months after, after Dawn, and they made such a big – that was one of the things that I thought was weird. At the end of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, when the one human guy is talking to Caesar, and he says something about like there's going to be a war, there might be a war.
Yeah.
Caesar says it's already come. And I was like, well, I don't really
– right?
But there's not a lot of humans around. Like you guys all had a fight, and you kind of – you know, Gary Oldman blew up the dam.
Right.
But for the most part, like who's left? You know,
yeah,
so
exactly.
I always thought – at the time I thought, well, that's kind of weird that he would say that. But it makes sense now more in the context of War for Planet of the Apes because there actually was, you know, there was soldiers somewhere
right.
listening
right.
And who got a signal that, hey, apes are attacking us. And that's where Woody Harrelson comes in and his group of ape killers. They're basically out trying to eradicate Caesar and his group for once and for all. And then it turns out that not all of humanity necessarily agrees with what's going on. So one of the main plot points about this game is the fact that – and like I said, we're spoiling things, but it's cool. It's cool. Just roll with us. Is that the simian flu has kind of evolved, or I don't know if that's the right word, and it is starting to de-evolve humans.
Right.
And depending on, like, what Woody Harrelson describes is that dudes go savage. They lose the ability to speak, and then they go savage. But there's a little girl in the movie who apparently has been de-evolved, and she just can't talk. She seemed perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like they were trying to set it up where the apes would become more like the humans, and the humans would end up animals like the apes. And roles would be reversed, and they didn't play around with that aside from a motivation for Woody Harrelson's character.
Yeah.
And I was kind of disappointed in that. I kind of wanted to get a better understanding of what this virus or whatever it is, this change, actually does. Because, go ahead.
I was going to say, just the virus itself is sort of, I feel like, almost an afterthought. They're just like, oh, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we don't know shit about this virus. We don't know. Like, it's the simian flu, apparently. I'm like, all right, well, where'd it come from? What caused it?
Oh, so it came from so remember in Rise for Planet of the Apes when they were doing the experiments on Koba?
Yeah.
And the hose broke off and sprayed the guy who was on
it was
that show with Ray Wise as the devil, but who wasn't him.
That was him. That was Tyler Labine.
That was Tyler Labine?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
I just watched him in The Boss last night. I didn't realize that because he didn't have the facial hair.
Yeah, that was
okay.
Him. Because I recognize that. That's Tucker and Dale, man. I know Tyler Labine.
so then he got sick? That's right.
The
simian flu.
Forget that.
Yeah, so then in Dawn, Carrie Russell.
That's how much of an afterthought it is. They show you that, and I'm just like, it didn't even connect to me until right now, which you're absolutely right.
And then in Dawn of Planet of the Apes, Kirk Acevedo, or however you pronounce his name, he's all like, monkeys caused this. And Kara Russell's like, no, they didn't. Humans did.
Yeah,
he's like, whatever.
damn, you're right. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, my bad. Yeah. I'm stupid.
Right. No. But you're right. I mean, they do, you know, especially by this movie, they're just – but the fact that they kind of – they mentioned the whole, like, de-evolution thing. And how, you know, Woody Harrelson, he essentially is like killing his own men, and makes it sound like Caesar thinks that there's a whole bunch of soldiers coming to rendezvous with Woody Harrelson's bunch so that they can wipe out the apes, when in fact they're coming to kill Woody Harrelson and all of his soldiers because he's been murdering his own soldiers that come down with this disease. And he makes it sound like, yeah, like it's total going to be total role reversal, and it's just like, okay, well, she can't talk, and then Woody Harrelson can't talk, and he seems kind of miffed about it, but that's about the end of it.
Yep.
But he talks about his own son going like feral and that type of thing, and then I'm like, okay, well, did it not affect Nova the same way? Is it going to eventually? And I just wish they had done a little bit more with that, because outside of
like
motivation for him to be doing what he's doing, I don't really feel like they were like consistent with what he's supposed to do.
The only thing I could think maybe is for age, or maybe she was born with it.
Point.
I don't know.
That's a good point. Yeah, because because Caesar is the way he was because the intelligence was transferred from his mom. So no, you're right. That could be that maybe the older you are, the worse it is for you. Now, that being said, I fucking loved the movie. Like, when I was watching it, I just was like, I'm not sure. But then the more I thought about it afterwards, I really enjoyed it. I felt that the acting was stellar. You know, obviously, all the motion capture stuff is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I thought Andy Serkis was great, like, you know, giving Caesar the different range of emotions and just, you know, him basically saying, like, I'm going to go do this. I don't want you with me. You need to, like, his whole family, all of the apes, they're all going away. And he's like, I've got this mission I need to do.
Yeah.
And then realizing that he's just like Korba, that he is – Korba was – he never got over the fact that he was experimented on by humans, and he turned that rage into what eventually kind of tore the apes apart and kind of caused all of this. And Caesar realizing that, hey, I'm just like that guy.
Yep.
And still not turning away from it, just being like, yep, that's me, but that's what's got to happen. I thought that was great.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite parts about the movie is, like I said, it's not as advertised. And like you said, that's not a bad thing at all. Like, I'm going in here and I'm expecting, okay, we're going to be a few years after the last one and it's going to be a war. And fuck, man, it's one of those movies that you almost feel like you watched different movies.
Yeah.
The same.
Yeah.
Because at first it's a fucking revenge flick.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's a prison break flick.
I got to tell you, the music at the prison break, that, I mean, I thought the soundtrack, the score of this movie was fucking amazing. Like, this very light, almost jaunty.
Yeah.
Like, like a xylophone and kind of woodwinds of like when all the apes are escaping.
Yeah.
It in the wrong hands, that would make it seem almost goofy.
Right.
And it was perfect. I thought most of the time for me, music just goes right over my head.
Same here. So that's when I notice it, that's when I know that it's that fucking good.
Yeah.
I actually was going to talk about the soundtrack, so yeah. I'm glad you're on the same page with that, because, man, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And then the kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, the evolution of where it takes the story. Like, I kind of hope they just end it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll fucking watch Matt Reeves' Apes movies until the sun explodes. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Right.
But you kind of go, well, I don't really know where we would go, because you really do get the feeling that humanity is pretty much, if they're not done for, it's just really a matter of time.
That's another thing.
This is the Apes planet now.
Right. That's another thing that I absolutely love. I absolutely love that, because it's prequels to the 68 Planet of the Apes, whatever it is, or whether they're just building something completely new. But I like the idea that these films are prequels to the apes eventually, you know, owning the planet. And I love the fact that humanity caused every last bit of it.
Right.
Even in the end, wiping each other out, and the apes just trying to get the fuck out of the way.
That was like, my favorite part. I don't want to mention it, because I do feel like that's worth not knowing anything about. I thought that last part was fucking great. Like, I just I loved it.
Yep.
But all the nods, the originals, like, you know, the little girl being named Nova, and the you know, the Alpha Omega, the, you know, just all these little things here and there.
Yeah.
I thought was fantastic. And I was surprised that Steve Zahn didn't bug me as much as I thought he would, because Steve Zahn is, for me, he's very hit or miss. You know, sometimes he can be just incredibly annoying, and another time. And I thought as Bad Ape, I thought he kind of really that's a tough role to nail, because on the one part you want him to be sympathetic, he's also kind of the comic relief.
Yeah,
he needs to be somewhat childlike, but also goofy, but not goofy. He needs to be endearing, but not like cloying, and I mean, I think I feel like he really threaded a pretty fine needle and did a good job with it.
Yeah, it you know, it's one of those things that, unfortunately, at this point, especially with this type of movie, this big summer blockbuster thing, that's going to be there.
Yeah,
and so, you know, you go into it knowing, okay, there's something that's going to break the tension every 15-20 minutes in some way or whatever, and you know, it's just unfortunately a thing that happens. But yeah, he was fine. He didn't bother me. I laughed at a couple of the things, so, you know, it was fine.
Yeah. And Woody Harrelson, I mean, I just, like, okay, if Cheers will always be one of my favorite shows ever, ever.
Yep.
I mean, ever. That's, like, I used to, Thursday nights, my mom and I, like, I remember this day, we would watch Cosby Show, we would watch whatever was on after Cosby Show, then we would watch Cheers, then we would watch Night Court, then we would watch L.A. Law. Like, nice. That was some of my favorite memories, was just sitting on Thursday nights watching TV with my mom. And we fucking loved Cheers. And then I roomed with a guy in college who also fucking loved Cheers. So as much as I love Woody Harrelson, and I've seen pretty much everything the man has been in, he is always Woody.
Yeah.
Like, like Kelly. Like, I mean, that's just, you know, I mean, and so I thought he was great in this, don't get me wrong, but I just, he's Woody. Like, he's just, he's Bob Urich comes by to get his gloves. He's crying when he doesn't have, you know, when Rebecca is upset that they didn't have a good day. You know what I mean? Like, he beats Carla at Italian arm wrestling. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, and I mean, I like him a lot in the Now You See Me movies, but when he tries to do a role like this, I'm like, dude, you're Woody. Like,
I don't know, man. He pulls it off for me pretty good.
This is just me. I gotcha. Totally recognize that. This is just me.
You know, I love him. Like, I think his range for me is incredible. Like, I mean, you know, I've been afraid of him. I've laughed at him. You know what I mean? Like the appropriate response is generally there for me when it comes to him.
And here's the thing. I don't think it's necessarily because I don't feel he has range. I think it's because I love
him
on Cheers. Like he,
absolutely.
I mean, when Coach died, when Nicholas Colasanto died, and then here this guy's got to come in and not be Coach, but also fill the role of Coach.
Yeah.
And he fucking, I mean, he knocked it out of a
park. Oh, yeah.
That show, when you consider, one, him taking over as coach, and two, Kirstie Alley taking over for Shelley Long.
Mm-hmm.
Those were two major cast changes that both succeeded, like, beyond their wildest expectations. That never fucking happened.
Right.
And it happened twice in the same goddamn show.
Yep.
And so it's more my love of that show and my love of that character and his work on that show that makes it difficult for me at times to
Completely understand. There's so many actors that are that way for me. So yeah, I'm right there with you. But I just, you know, I thought, but even then, even with this character, whatever his name was,
Colonel some or other.
Yeah. Even, I think he was just the Colonel. But even with him supposed to be this badass and all this shit, it still was Woody, man. Like, it still, well, you know, when he's like, you're so emotional. You know?
Oh, I know. I love that. I love that.
Yeah. So it's still him. He's sort of like Samuel Jackson. Like, you can play different characters, but they always give you that one little Sam. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Yep. Yeah. But it was well worth it. I really enjoyed it. I think that, you know, if you're a fan of the Apes movies, I don't think it disappoints. As we said before, I would love to see more. But at the same time, I would also be perfectly fine if they just decided that that was it.
Yep.
So. Real quick, because I don't want to get real far much into it, but Dunkirk, fucking amazing.
Yep.
Like, absolutely amazing. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, I have.
Oh, you did? Okay,
hell
cool.
Yeah.
All right. I saw it IMAX, which is, I don't do IMAX movies.
Right. Because
mostly they're 3D and I can't, because my eyes are so jacked up, I can't really do 3D. Mm-hmm. But this was a 2D IMAX showing. And man, if you have the opportunity, that is definitely.
Yeah, having seen it, I can say that this is the first time I've ever been like, man, I need to see this shit in IMAX. Because I've only ever seen one thing in IMAX. It was Dark Knight.
So, oh, okay. And yeah, some of those scenes were shot in IMAX, right?
Yeah.
The bank heist and the
chase with the chase with the Joker, the rocket launcher and shit, and the armored cars.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But, holy shit. I mean, was it great?
Jesus, yes.
I mean, it was one of those things. I mean, the sound mix.
Yeah.
There's me. So I don't know how they do it where you are, but here, IMAX, they actually, you can reserve, like, you reserve seats. Like, when you pay for an IMAX ticket, they show you the screen, and you pick your seat. I've never done that before.
Right.
So I was like, okay, yeah, they're in the middle. And I was by myself, so I got to pick a pretty good seat. There's this woman sitting next to me, and she and I swear to God, we jumped out of our chair. Like, we would have been helping each other off the ceiling.
Yeah.
The sound mix on this movie was fucking amazing. One, Hans Zimmer's score was badass.
Yeah.
Badass.
Yep.
I mean, you think his Dark Knight shit was on point?
Yeah.
No, you ain't seen nothing yet. But then also just the way the gunshots were intentionally louder than everything else.
Yeah.
You have, all told, you have about a minute of not being stressed out of your goddamn mind.
Yeah.
You got about 30 seconds at the beginning and you got about 30 seconds at the end.
Yep.
The other 1 minute and 46 seconds. Yeah. You got to smoke a joint. Whatever it is you need to do to de-stress prior to going to see this movie.
Yeah.
Because you are just, like, tense. Like, it reminds me of how I spent the entire last 45 minutes of Rogue One.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, man,
it was great.
I don't throw masterpiece around a lot. And I'm not saying, you know, it's not the greatest movie that's ever been filmed, but as far as is, you know, God, I don't know if I like any of his movies better at this point.
I think what it is that it takes, from a technical perspective, it's incredibly impressive. Just the simple fact of you're making a World War II movie at a time when there's not a lot of World War II stuff around anymore.
Yeah.
The aerial shots were amazing.
Yep.
The scenes, the underwater scenes, the fact that you could do a movie with barely any dialogue and still convey everything that needs to be conveyed. All of that shit, I think, is absolutely stunning.
I mean, yeah.
They were able to do all that.
It tells a story without telling a story almost.
Yeah.
Because it throws you in it with the – you feel like you're there, man. Like it's it's just – you experience it the way the characters do. Mm-hmm. And it's – man, it's so fucking engaging. And like when it was over, like I was in the parking lot on my phone like Googling fucking Dunkirk and shit and reading about it in the car because I wanted to know more. And then I read this story about this veteran that he reviewed it, like, you know, this 96-year-old man.
Oh, the 97-year-old guy.
Whatever it was. And I was like, this is fucking great.
Yeah. And the fact that you've got three timelines, one over the course of a week, one over the course of a day, one over the course of an hour. And somehow – he manages to tie them all in. At the beginning of those timelines, you're just like, I don't see how these are going to come together. And then you get little bits and pieces where you go, oh, that's right there. Yep. Okay, I see that.
Yep.
Okay, I know that boat. Okay, I know those guys.
Yep.
And you can feel how it's going to come together. But then when it all still comes together, you are still surprised and blown away and just by the way that it was done.
Yep.
But here's the thing that bugs me. And it's not so much with the movie. So recently, Christopher Nolan, he basically had some words to say about Netflix, kind of saying how he doesn't like their strategy, he doesn't like the fact – like Amazon Prime, when they produce movies, they'll put them out in the theaters for 30 days, 90 days, whatever it is, before making for Prime subscribers. Netflix is like, fuck all y'all.
Yeah.
Either if you want to put it in a theater, knock yourself out, otherwise it's going to be Netflix. And Christopher Nolan is basically saying that ain't right. He's trying to put theaters out of business, blah, 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 blah. And I agree with him to a certain degree, but I think to myself – this reminds me, so way, cast your mind back years and years where there was this whole big kerfuffle over the fact that Walmart would sell, the only way they would sell music at a Walmart is they would make only sell clean versions of their songs, right? And I remember my brother-in-law being like, well, I won't, my brother-in-law's big into music, and although for a dude who's really big into music, his taste in music kind of sucks. But anyway... he's just like, I won't shop at Walmart because they will only sell clean version of their songs. And I remember reading an interview, I think it was with Alice Cooper, and they asked him about that. And he was like, look, obviously I would prefer all my music to be sold the way that it was recorded. But you got to understand, there are large parts of the country where the only place for kids to get music is Walmart. And this was back before, like, Amazon was a thing, or YouTube or whatever. And he's like, the only way for these kids to get music is Walmart. I would much rather them listen to one of my songs that's been edited and hear it and enjoy my music than never hear it at all.
Yeah.
So if that's what it takes, then I'm all for it. And that's kind of how I feel about Christopher Nolan and this movie and Netflix, because I'm like, to think – like, not everybody has the means or the opportunity to go to an IMAX theater and see it. Or has access to a theater that would show it at all.
Right, right.
And to think of there could be some filmmaker out there watching all they have access to is Netflix. And I'm not saying that is a bad thing. I mean, that's just they don't have a theater. They don't have means to go to a theater, or maybe the theater they have only shows one movie at a time.
Right.
And then you go to a place like Netflix, and it's fucking – you could binge for days.
Yeah.
And all the things that kid could learn and become – and take into themselves to then become the next Chris Nolan or Spielberg or Catherine Bigelow or whatever – and he's not going to see this fucking movie. Oh, my God. It just, I can't – it just, I'm like, dude, Like, yes, if you have problems with Netflix, like how they do their own original stuff and not putting it in theaters, like I totally get that. But please don't not put this movie on that service because of that.
Right.
Like, there's so many people who maybe wouldn't get the opportunity to see this movie that would get it if you had it there.
Yep.
And I just, and thanks, props, Lexi Alexander, worship at her feet. Because that, you know, was one of the things when I first read about this, I was like, yeah, whatever. But then I read, you know, kind of her thoughts about it on Twitter, you know, her basically saying, like, basically what I just said. So
gotcha.
This is me stealing full, I'll fucking steal from Lexi Alexander all day. Don't even, like, I check every time I see Netflix on Punisher, I'm like, you mean Warzone, right? And they're like, no. And I'm like, Thomas Jane, I love you. Not watching it again. but yeah, so, but I didn't realize it's not Dunkirk, it's Dunkirk,
right.
Which is a hard way for me to say it, but yeah, great, great fucking movie. Just, I mean, it's been a great summer for movies.
It has, man. Jesus Christ. Cause I finally did it this year. I'm writing everything down.
Oh, good for you. I should do that.
Yeah. And so, and so, because I'm doing I started the Batcave back up a couple weeks ago, and
no,
so
you did not. Why don't I have a link to it?
It's the same one, man. It's still there. But this week, or I started last week actually, but I'm doing 2017 so far, and I've done January, February, man, and then I look at March, and I'm like, holy shit. March was off the fucking chain, man.
I need to. Oh yeah. Jesus. No, you're right. You're right because
we saw Colossal, Kong,
Split.
Split. God, I can't even. Man,
John Wick.
John Wick
was in February.
February. Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember. Yeah, because I saw John Wick 2 and Lego Batman 2 the same weekend.
That. Yep.
Yeah. And I saw then Split and Logan.
Logan
was in March.
Yeah, March. Kong Skull Island. Logan. Like, man, March was fucking badass. So this year has been really fucking good for movies. Like, because you know, usually by this time I'm thinking, man, this year's been kind of like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something. And just reading that list, I'm just like, fuck, this year is incredible.
Yeah.
And it's only halfway over.
Right. Right. So now that being said, I guess I want to do, is it okay if we do Comic-Con trailers and do Okja for another time? Is that cool?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Because that's one thing I meant to get into and then I forgot. So the Comic-Con trailers. So basically the big ones really were Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Justice League, and as you called it, and I don't get it, as Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
Thor, Ragnarok. So let's take it one at a time.
Okay.
So Ready Player One, I haven't read the book. I have it, but I haven't read the book.
Me neither.
Honestly, to me, it just felt like too much like just every single, and I understand this is kind of what the book is, so,
right.
But just like tons and tons of little pop culture references just kind of thrown on a screen, and we're all just supposed to be like, yeah, that's cool, I recognize that. And that's fine, I guess, if that's what the game is, but that's not really anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I got excited to Freddy, and, you know, and it was cool to see the Iron Giant, and then, you know, while I do love the DeLorean, it was nice to see, you know, if you caught just a split second, Christine was on screen, and, you know, I was like, all right, well, you know, this is, I don't know what it is, though. It looks like, are they racing? Like, because
I think what it is I think the movie, so the book is about this kid who, like, lives in this, everybody, their lives basically suck, so they keep going into this virtual reality world, and this virtual reality world is essentially a mashup of decades of popular culture. And so it's like a cross between the Matrix and Willy Wonka, because everybody gets this, like, you can enter this contest, you get this key where you can unlock this, like, big huge prize, and this kid gets this key, and so he's got to try to figure out all this different shit, and I don't know if that's where the pop culture references come in or what, but
yeah, that's basically the plot, well, sort of the plot to Tokyo Ghost. So that's neat. Like, I guess that's where, what's his name? I hate that I can't think of his name. But anyway, the guy who wrote and did Tokyo Ghost, the comic book, Like that's a lot. That's, it sounds like he sort of used that as a basis for Tokyo Ghost. That's pretty neat.
Yeah. I mean, like in Lego Batman, I like the idea that they had all these like Warner Brothers villains. Like, oh, there's Voldemort. There's the monkeys. But at the same time, you're kind of like, okay, that kind of makes sense. But here, if it's like just this, what I don't want is this movie to turn into some fucking thing where like everybody, you know, thinks they're better than other people just because they recognize more shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I hope there's like a story. There's actually something involved, and it's not just like coasting on some kind of nostalgia trip where it's like, okay, well, people like Ghostbusters.
What?
People like Back to the Future. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
there did seem to be that one centralized villain, if that was the villain, I guess, that big guy in the monster truck and shit.
I don't know. I mean, it was like, I watched the trailer and I watched the trailer, and then I got the book off of my shelf, and I was like, "What the fuck is this book even about?" And then I read it, and I was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah.
So we'll see. All right. Aside from just it having some humor, I feel personally like Ragnarok is a million times more trying to be. Doesn't mean they'll succeed. Trying to be like a million times more epic, like fucking what you would airbrush on the side of like a thousand vans than what James Gunn was going for in Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm not saying the movie itself looks like a Guardians movie, although to me it sort of does because I feel like it's
there's more humor.
There's more humor. And
getting a team together.
And the even the way it's done though, like the was it Dark Ages, Dark World, whatever the fuck it was?
Mm-hmm.
The last Thor and the one before, they're both dark movies, and this thing is fucking out loud in your face, neon colors and shit everywhere. You know,
well, yeah.
Thor's got his fucking haircut. We're throwing some fucking 80s soundtrack music and shit, just like the Guardians of the Galaxy, and then Suicide Squad followed suit. I'm not saying the movie. I'm saying the trailers themselves.
Yeah.
To me, just look straight up Guardians of the Galaxy trailers.
See, and I guess I would. Yeah, I mean, I take a different, and maybe it's just because I'm like, I don't, like, I love Guardians of the Galaxy, but I feel like they have their place, and Thor has its place.
Right.
And I want fucking gods against gods.
Same here.
Massive, like, that scene with all the Valkyries, and then Hell, I'm like, yes!
Yeah.
An hour and a half of that, like, just fucking, rah!
No, I'm not, look, I've just owned that. I'm that guy. Yeah. I'm the guy that hates the Marvel movies. Fine, whatever. Call me.
No, I don't think that's true.
From you. I get it from everybody.
But I don't think, well, first of all, you don't get that from me.
No.
I don't think you hate, I know you don't hate them.
Right.
I think there's just people hold them in higher regard than you do, and that's perfectly fine.
But I'm excited for the movie. You know, I love Planet Hulk, man. We talked about Planet Hulk like forever ago. I fucking love Planet Hulk, so I'm looking forward to that. It doesn't look bad. I'm not a fan of the way they've cut these trailers, and I genuinely hope that the movie is completely different than the way they're cutting these trailers.
Well, we can say though, from Homecoming. If you watch Homecoming trailers, you're like, hey, they showed us the whole movie. It's the Tony Stark.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a Tony Stark show. And then you see the movie and you're like, okay, I guess I was wrong.
Yep. Yep.
Same thing with Wonder Woman to a certain degree.
Yeah.
I felt like when I watched Wonder Woman that I was like, I feel like the theme of this movie was in the trailers. But in terms of like, I felt like I was continually surprised.
Yep.
So that leaves us to Justice League.
Yes.
Okay, so here's some things. Now, our opinions part ways on previous Zack Snyder movies. I will say this. Fucking, like, I was like, I will take Aquaman home like yesterday. Like,
yeah.
Here's the thing. Okay, do you remember it was a Cartoon Network show, and it was called, like, Batman and His Friends, or Batman, and I forget what it was. But, like, every episode, Batman would be teamed up with a different hero.
Brave and the Bold.
Brave and the Bold. Do you remember John DiMaggio?
Yes.
Okay, the guy, his portrayal of Aquaman?
Yes.
That is my absolute favorite. So up until that point, right? So Aquaman was basically Namor, right? He's like, fuck you, surface dwellers. And he would come and help the Justice League. But for the most part, he was pretty haughty. And he just was like, man, fuck all y'all. Like, I got a whole kingdom. I got 3/4 of the fucking world to be in charge of. All your stupid bullshit. Just call me when something is a big enough threat to where I actually have to be involved. And everybody was like, okay, whatever. Like, he was the only person that made fucking Bruce seem personable, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, if it was like, if you got an e-bite between Bruce Wayne having a party and Aquaman having a party, everybody was going to Bruce Wayne's house.
That's it.
But yet, then, on Brave and the Bold, they wrote Aquaman and fucking John DiMaggio, the guy who did Marcus Fenix in Gears of War, and also did the best Joker in Red Hood.
Yep.
He has this fucking larger-than-life, braggadocio, just like completely full of himself version of Aquaman, and I fucking love it.
I did too.
And this cat, Jason Momoa's take on Aquaman in this movie is a cross between those two.
Yeah.
This is this dude, he wants to fight. He's in it. And I was just like, yes.
Yep.
I was so excited to see that bit in the trailer.
Yep. Yep.
I just was like, that is exactly like if you had told me that Aquaman was going to be the counter to Batman, I would have been like, you're out your goddamn mind.
Yeah.
But I think it works. I mean, I think it works.
Oh, absolutely.
The only concern I have is I like the idea of Ezra Miller as the Flash being the least experienced guy.
Yeah.
What I don't want is all of the humor that the Flash would bring to this movie to come from his inexperience.
I know. I was going to say that's the only thing I didn't like, really. I'm fine with it, I guess, but I mean, technically, and I know, you know, they're not going to do this because you don't want this to be the first experience people get with the character. It should be Cyborg that's the least experienced.
Yes.
But you know, at the same time, most people know the Flash. A lot of people may not know Cyborg, and you don't want that to be their impression of Cyborg. So I get it.
Right.
But yeah, it's a little disappointing.
I mean, I thought that scene was all when he's like running and he like nudges like Wonder Woman's sword towards her. I was like, like I wouldn't even have thought of that.
Right.
Like, I mean, the fact that he's caught because he's so much faster, he's got that situational awareness where he can kind of look and be like, you need a little help. And I like the line where he was like, I basically like push people and run away. But you know, and I think it's because like, you know, in Justice League, typically Wally or Barry or whoever it was, like they provide the humor, but not necessarily the inexperience. Like they're still, they can still hang.
Right.
What you don't want is this guy to be a part of a team simply because he has a superpower. Like you want him, and maybe it's just a situation where he doesn't feel that he believes he should be there and it, you know, he comes to believe that he does. But that was my only concern. Everything else, I tell you, every time, like, Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot, like, fucking flips her hair in slow motion,
oh,
I'm just like, I'm out. I'm done.
Yep.
I get the vapors. I need to go to my fainting couch.
Yep.
So, you know, whereas I think, like, when I – and you know – previous, like when I watched Batman vs. Superman, there were certain parts in the trailer where I was just like, I'm not sure about that. And then when I saw it in the movie, it didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here, for the most part, what I basically was like, yep, I like it. I like that. I like that. I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think that the biggest unknown, obviously, is how much, you know, Superman's going to be in it.
Yeah.
And now knowing that they're going to digitally remove his mustache.
I love it. Fucking, dude.
That
Dan McDade cracked me the fuck up on Twitter. Yeah, it was yesterday or the day before, but he was like, it was like hashtag super stash or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculously Silver Age, and I fucking love it.
And how awesome would that be
right?
If, like, he comes back from the dead He's got like the longer hair and a mustache, and everybody's just like looking at him like, is that a mustache on his face? And he's just like, don't even think about it. He's just like, yeah, it's a new look. I'm trying it out. Like, you got a problem with it? And they're like, no, it looks good on you, man. You can totally pull it off. You know, like.
But that shit like is straight up out of, and not a Superman comic, but like a Lois Lane. Like, this would be the cover of an issue of Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane.
Yeah, I hope and pray. Like, okay, if the movie ends up being shit, but on the fucking blooper reel, there's a picture of Superman with a mustache, I'll pay it. I'll buy it. I'll upgrade to 4K just to see that fucking glorious thing.
I know.
Although I have to say, Commissioner Gordon, he was sporting a pretty impressive mustache. That was a pretty impressive soup strainer he had.
He's got to get that trench coat off too, man, because you know he got jacked for that role. So I'm interested to see if he's going to do some fighting of his own in it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. He posted that shit on Twitter. Yeah. He was like totally. Yeah, he was all swole. Yeah. He's like, I'll just use these muscles for slapping drummers. All right, so what's next? I'm going to try to see Atomic Blonde this weekend. I was kind of surprised. I thought maybe my wife would want to go see, because she's watched, she's seen John Wick. She hadn't seen 2 yet, but I thought maybe she'd be up for this, and she just was like, nah. And I was like, what?
Looks good to me.
So, yeah.
I saw, I did see Baby Driver.
Oh, I got to go see that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you do.
Okay. But so we'll figure something out. I mean, like I said, we were going to talk about Okja, and then I got us derailed and wanted to talk about trailers and stuff. So there's always something. Game-wise, we are in the dog days.
Shit, man. I'm trying to find time to play everything I do have. Like,
well, you're catching up.
I know.
Which is fine. I wish I could do that. I wish I didn't have to fucking play something every goddamn minute of the day. It'd certainly make my wallet thicker and my life easier, but it is what it is. But whatever it is we end up doing, hopefully you'll be here with us in the next 2 weeks. For streaming, I'm going to keep doing Wildlands. I may get Pyre. And then, of course, we always do Overwatch Friday nights, and then Mitch will do whatever. What you got planned?
My sporadic response to Witcher requests and nothing. I'm, like I said, still thinking about Amnesia maybe, but it's so hard for me to just schedule a set time and actually stick to it for some reason, because you have the boys hanging out, and then I like to watch you too, and I'm not jealous or saying but it's like I'm generally just talking to myself, and I'm like, well, fuck, I could just be doing that without streaming. So I don't know.
Oh, I feel you. All right. Well, whatever it is, y'all know where to find us. And then, of course, we'll be back here in the next 2 weeks. So thank you so much for joining us. This has been episode 27 of Divided by Werewolves. For myself and Mitch, thanks for hanging out. We really appreciate it. And we hope to see you again in the next 2 weeks. So thanks again. Good night. And have a good evening.